the highest in 25 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The unemployment numbers came out this morning, and they are as bad as was feared. Actually worse. 651,000 jobs lost in February. Unemployment at 8.1%, the highest since 1983, and no end in sight. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
12.5 million people are now unemployed. That's the highest number since records started being kept in 1940. Analyst Greg McBride is with Bankrate.com.
It's people of all walks of life, in all industries. You know, there are very few places to hide. Even among different levels of education, unemployment has essentially doubled in the last year.
20 states have admitted they can't keep up with the applications for unemployment benefits. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial.
There was a job fair in New York City sponsored by Monster.com 2 days ago, and there was a line that stretched for blocks, thousands and thousands of people coming out trying to find something.
Economists say jobless numbers at this massive a scale can become a vicious circle. People get so nervous about losing their jobs, they stop spending. That forces retailers to cut back, driving the jobless rate even higher. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
These days, Wall Street expects bad news. The market is shaking off the unemployment report so far. The Dow, which lost 280 points yesterday, is up 122 points, or 1.8%. The NASDAQ is up 15 points, 1.2%, and the S&P 500 is ahead 13 points, or 2%. Major European markets are mixed. Asian markets were down 2 to 3% earlier today. Wells Fargo announced this morning it will cut its dividend 85%, down to a nickel. That came out this morning. H&R Block says third quarter profits surged as tax filers came in extra early. Looks like that company's holding up okay so far, despite some evolution in the tax prep industry. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more.
About 60% of Americans still go to a professional for their tax needs. That includes chains like H&R Block and Jackson Hewitt and CPAs. The other 40% do their taxes manually, with the majority of those people heading online.
Online tax preparation using software or an online service is growing extremely rapidly.
That's Bob Meehan with TurboTax, whose parent company Intuit recently reported quarterly results well above expectations. George Van Horn with IBIS World Industry Research says while accountants have been in high demand because of all those complex financial products,
now as people in the next couple of years simplify, you know, their financial portfolios, you could easily see people requiring less value-added services.
Plus, taxpayers may try to cut back on the expense of tax preparation, he says, and that is bad news for accountants. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
With the financial fallout accelerating as it is, you might hope our Treasury Department is at full ready. But 5 weeks into his tenure, Secretary Timothy Geithner has yet to name a single top deputy or assistant secretary. Now, two of his senior staff choices have withdrawn their names. The Wall Street Journal is quoting sources saying the two backed out in part because of a vetting process that has dragged on for weeks. You're listening to The Morning Report for Friday, March 6th at Marketplace.org. General Motors auditors warned of possible bankruptcy this week. That warning not only shook up the markets, but governments all over the world. The head of the European Union is now calling for a crisis meeting of the member states that have GM factories. Christopher Wirth reports from London.
GM has been approaching individual European governments for rescues of its subsidiaries. But the EU's industry commissioner said yesterday, enough is enough. He called on GM to be transparent with Brussels on how its European facilities would be impacted by cost reductions. Ministers agreed yesterday there would be no EU-wide bailout for the automaker. Michael Tyndall is an analyst with Nomura Securities in London. He says whether it's rescued or not, GM hasn't proved it can be profitable in the future.
I really hope that these politicians don't lose sight of the bigger picture, which is they are the custodians of the taxpayers' money. And at the end of the day, they have to make a decision as to whether or not saving jobs in the near term is a good investment for the long term.
No date has been set, but talks would include Germany, Britain, and other countries with GM factories. The company directly employs approximately 55,000 people in Europe. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
It seems you cannot escape the world's financial turmoil, even at the ends of the earth. The Iditarod, that 1,100-mile dog sled race across the Alaskan tundra, is hurting. Competitors and prize money are melting away. The race kicks off tomorrow, and Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has the lowdown.
There will be 67 teams mushing through whiteouts and deep freezes this year, from Anchorage to Nome. That's a third fewer than in 2008, and the top prize is down to just over $600,000. Last year, it was nearly $1 million. The Iditarod's organizers say costs are up for everything from vets to bush plane flights. University of Alaska professor Brian Patrick O'Donohue ran the race in 1991 and wrote a book about it.
We are on the end of the line in terms of supply chains. You know, dog food, gasoline, all of it has really risen in price.
The pros keep as many as 50 dogs in training year-round. O'Donohue had half that many.
It was like getting a pay increase when we did finally sell our dog team.
O'Donohue was never exactly at the front of the pack, by the way. The year he ran the Iditarod, he finished dead last. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Guess who turns 50 on Monday? Barbie. Despite her youthful appearance, her sales numbers are a bit frumpy, down 21% in the last quarter. So parent company Mattel is going for revenue overseas. Today, it opens its first-ever Barbie brand megastore in Shanghai. Marketplace's Scott Tong got an early peek.
40,000 square feet of pink starts here, on the escalator to the Barbie flagship store, with piped-in sounds of giggling.
And when you get to the top, you're hit with this amazing staircase filled with over 900 Barbie dolls that from top to bottom is just pure eye candy.
Richard Dixon is general manager at Barbie Global. He's showing me around the six-story retail experience, as he calls it. There's a spa, fashion runway, cafe, and those dolls. The newest is Barbie Shanghai. She's a brunette.
There's a slightly different face paint. The eyes are a bit wider. They're a brown.
Mattel's betting big on China. Most families here have just one child, thanks to the communists. And the capitalists at Mattel know these only children get what they want.
Listen, it certainly helps us when moms and dads want to spend lavishly on their children. You know, and this is certainly a place that we believe that we'll be able to spend a lot of money.
But Barbie, or Bobby Wawa in Chinese, has competition. Brands like Hello Kitty and Snoopy are entrenched here. Still, the market for cute is big. Teenagers and grown-ups buy it, too. Youth market researcher Mary Bergstrom.
Young people that are in their first or second jobs may have cartoon characters on their keyboards, stuffed animals in the back of their cars. They don't have the same disdain for innocence that we have in the West.
The Barbie Shanghai store has a whole floor of designer clothes for the older set. And there's a bar with pink martinis. April Liu is outside the store. She can't wait to get in.
For new college grads just working their first job like me, this will attract us.
And many Chinese women say they aspire to Barbie's body proportions, so controversial in the West. But Mattel isn't blushing. For the company's global future, it's China or bust. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Here's a bit of bright news to counter those grim unemployment numbers. The Census Bureau is looking to hire 1 million people. They've got one of the biggest, most qualified pools of candidates ever. 4.5 million people have lost their jobs since the start of this recession. From Los Angeles, Alex Cohen reports.
McDaniel & Associates.
Sandy McDaniel of Glendale, California, creates public art projects like giant sculptures that mask cell phone towers. But lately, she says, calls from clients have been slowing down.
If it's not life and death, people want to put things on hold until they see what's going to happen.
So a few weeks ago, McDaniel decided to apply for a job with the U.S. Census Bureau.
Because it is part-time and you can do it at night and weekends, I thought, you know, I can see this as like almost a performance art piece where it's an experience interacting with the community.
The salary varies from region to region. Here in L.A., it's a bit less than what 54-year-old McDaniel is used to earning.
The pay is $17 or $18 an hour, which, you know, you're not going to retire to Maui on something like that. But it's really not bad considering what a lot of, you know, hourly jobs pay.
In the past, finding people to fill census jobs wasn't easy, but thanks to the economic downturn, this year's been a different story.
We are blown away with the response that we've gotten from the public.
James Christie heads up the census office in Los Angeles. He says he's been amazed at the quality of the candidates, like the one he recently met in the field.
The skills that he had were just phenomenal. I mean, his handwriting was great. Everything was good about him. And I started asking him about his background. He was a medical doctor.
Most of the jobs they're recruiting for are temporary, but he says it's important work. After all, information gleaned from the 2010 census will help determine where approximately $300 billion of federal funding goes.
We will see a better census because we have people with that are more skilled and a little more attuned to what it is we're trying to do out there taking the census.
Like many other census offices throughout the country, the LA branch has been so inundated by excellent candidates, they've had to stop taking applications. But for those who missed out on this first round of hiring, don't despair. The census will begin their next round of recruiting for survey takers in the fall. In Los Angeles, I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
This weekend, it's time to set your clocks forward for daylight saving. It's an annual harbinger of spring and maybe just what this country needs. Not only are the economy and stock market bumming us out, scientists say the low light of winter can depress us too. Lois Kron is a psychiatrist at the Mayo Clinic. She specializes in light therapy. Dr. Kron, the evenings will stay lighter longer now. Is that good for our mental outlook?
Well, we have to be careful. If you get too much light exposure in the evening, it can make it difficult to fall asleep. So I'm more interested in light exposure in the morning.
So falling back is better than springing forward.
Well, in a way. It's easier from a sleep standpoint.
Oh, so much for the spring forward rally on Wall Street. Doctor, how often are you seeing clients who are depressed about the economy?
Oh, that is a daily event at this point. You know, many people are worried about the situation they're in now and worry even more so about what the future may bring.
Doctor, what have you found most interesting about the sadness and fear our country seems to be experiencing?
Well, it's reality-based, and that's what makes it tough. You know, there have been some very significant changes in our economy, so we need people to take this seriously, make appropriate changes in their home budget, but not overreact, to have some hope that with time this will improve.
And get outside more.
Absolutely. To have balance, be physically active, get sunshine, especially in the morning.
Well, here's to sunnier days ahead.
Very good.
Dr. Lois Kron is a psychiatry professor at the Mayo Clinic. Doctor, thank you.
You're very welcome.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is up 100 points or so right now, 6,696. Have a great Friday and a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.